And now, Jim Dearman.
What does the word blessing mean to you? The word blessing really carries the idea of reward or happiness. To be blessed is to be happy or rewarded. Certainly all of us in this life desire to be blessed. But where do we seek those blessings? That's an important question. Do we seek them in the things of this world or from sources other than the ultimate source of blessing, Jesus Christ? The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." This expression of praise and thanksgiving from Paul contains not only the reason for the praise, but also the statement of a very comprehensive fact. God's grace was not bestowed in vain in Paul's case. His heart was responsive in gratitude to the grace of God, and his life bore bountiful and obedient testimony to its unfailing quantity and quality. No one appreciated the grace of God more than did the Apostle Paul. No one can walk with God without a similar feeling and a similar obedience. If David of old, living in the moonlight age under a less glorious covenant, the Mosaical covenant, could say, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men," how much more should the thanksgiving of Christians who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb swell up in the heart and find expression with the mouth in song, in prayer, in conversation, yes, in everyday life. Paul makes no mistake in naming the source of these blessings. Notice he says, "Blessed be God." God is the source. And the Apostle Paul, who penned those words by inspiration in Ephesians 1:3, was conscious of the ever-watchful care of the Heavenly Father and of His absolute dependence upon Him. In his great sermon on Mars Hill in the city of Athens, Greece, he said, "In His name, that is, in God's name, we live. In God we live and move and have our very being." In the same sermon, he said, "He gives life. He gives to all life and breath and all things." That's Acts 17:25. Pity the man who, like the hog devouring acorns, never looks up to see from where his blessings come and who never expresses any gratitude. And tragically, our world is filled with just such people, filled with ingratitude. But now let's ask this question. What about the quantity of blessings that are received? Ephesians 1, verse 3 declares the quantity of those blessings when Paul writes, "Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing." Think about the quantity there. Every spiritual blessing. Every blessing in the heavenly sphere or the heavenly realm, that is, in the church, the spiritual realm, that's what he's talking about. Every blessing we have in the church, there's absolutely no spiritual blessing left outside of Jesus Christ. It also tells us that no spiritual blessings may be received. No spiritual blessings may be received outside of Christ. All blessings are in Christ, therefore no spiritual blessings may be received outside of Christ. They're all in Christ, none is left out. And to be in Christ is to be in His church. That's one and the same. To be in Christ is to be in the church. To be in the church is to be in Christ. In that same Ephesian epistle, Paul says that he gave him to be head over all things to the church. That is, Christ gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Notice, he gave him, that is Christ, to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Ephesians 4:4 reminds us there's one body. Ephesians 5:23 reminds us that the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now, Christ is the Savior of all of those who have received every spiritual blessing in him. But he's the Savior of the body, that's the church. Therefore, all those spiritual blessings that are in him are in the church, because that's one and the same, to be in Christ and to be in the church. We stress that because we live in a world today where so many contend that one can have Christ and His blessings that He offers without the church, and nothing could be further from the truth. Now, what about the quality of these blessings that are mentioned in our text in Ephesians 1:3? And let's review that text again. Remember, Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Now, what about the quality of these blessings? They are spiritual blessings, sent to nourish the inner man and to develop the new creature. Blessings for the spirit, blessings for the soul. You see, He sends the rain on the just and the unjust, Matthew 5:45 declares, but only to those who are in Jesus Christ are the blessings of the heavenly places given, that is, spiritual blessings. But the blessings for the spiritual man may be enjoyed by the sinner as well as the saint, as long as the sinner will respond to the Lord's teaching and become a child of God. The physical blessings, the rain that comes upon the just and the unjust, yes, those physical blessings come to all. But the spiritual blessings, though obtainable by all, are enjoyed only by those who are in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, in His church. And that explains where the blessings are received, in Christ's body, the church. His body is the church, as Paul declares it in Ephesians 1:22 and 23, as we've already noted. Again, listen to that passage. He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Now, let's add a scripture to that. The same inspired writer, Paul, wrote to the church at Corinth, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body." 1 Corinthians 12:13. And so, how do we get into that one body? We're baptized into that body. To the church at Rome, Paul wrote, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Romans 6:3-4. There, he explains when and where the new life in Christ begins. Yes, we were buried with Christ in baptism. We were raised to walk in newness of life. On the other side of that burial, the walk in newness of life begins. In Galatians 3:27, Paul wrote, "As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." This not only tells us how we get into Christ, but also when faith saves us, or when we become children of God by faith. The faith that saves is the faith that truly obeys. In Hebrews 5:9, the writer there declared of Jesus, "He became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey Him." Where are these spiritual blessings received? In Christ, meaning in His body. His spiritual body. What is that spiritual body? We've already seen it's the church. The Scriptures clearly declare it. And there are so many blessings given to those who are in Christ. All could not be named. They are so bountiful. But among them is that our prayers are answered. What a great blessing that is. Of course, the conditions of acceptable prayer must be met, praying in His name, according to His will, in faith and with unselfishness. But when we meet these conditions, we have the assurance that our prayers are answered. That's one of the great blessings in Christ. Another, of course, is newness of life. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul wrote that in Christ, old things are passed away, all things are become new. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. And, of course, the great blessing of forgiveness of sins is in Christ. In Ephesians 1:7, Paul said, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace." This is superior to the old law, the old covenant, under which there was remembrance of sins every year. But in Christ there is absolute forgiveness. Also, we have fellowship one with another in Christ. Listen to what John wrote in 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Fellowship with one another and fellowship with Christ are ours if we walk in the light. Finally, we have the greatest hope ever offered to mankind, the hope of eternal life, given only to us in Christ Jesus. And only those who are in Christ have that hope of eternal life. All others cannot share that hope. In Titus 1, verse 2, Paul wrote, "In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began." Promised to those who would follow him, in other words, becoming obedient to him through Jesus Christ. The hope of eternal life, where there will be freedom from pain and sorrow, no more tears, no more death. Oh, it's a blessed thing to be in Christ, and a blessed thing to continue in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Let me ask you, do you enjoy those blessings now? You may enjoy them through simple and sweet obedience to the will of Jesus Christ. Believe that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins and confess Jesus as Christ and Lord. Be buried with Him in baptism, as we have described in this lesson, in order to have that newness of life, to walk with Him in the light as He is in the light, added to His body, the church, upon your sweet obedience to His will. And as you live faithfully unto death, you have indeed every spiritual blessing and the greatest hope that anyone could ever have, the hope of eternal life in heaven.